Our sermon today is based on a reading from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go and anoint him, Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. I'm going to stop here, but you can read for yourself the rest of the verses. Thank you, God, for this glorious Easter morning. Despite the fire and destruction and uncertainty, we have much to be grateful for: a risen, ruling, returning Savior. A couple of years ago, I got to see a live version of the musical Jesus Christ Superstar. It's a retelling of the story of Jesus' last days before his crucifixion. The musical ends, in fact, with the crucifixion, with the actor playing Jesus being raised up on a cross. As the audience stood and gave a standing ovation to the cast, the woman beside me was clapping and crying. "The story doesn't end there," I told her, "and aren't we glad it doesn't?" Mark's gospel is the oldest of the four. It was probably written 40 or so years after Jesus' death and resurrection. We learned about this in our Sunday school class, so hint. Mark's gospel has a couple of different endings. The endings didn't exist in the earliest Greek manuscripts of the New Testament, the oldest of which date from 325 and 340. Some of the most ancient authorities bring the book to a close at the end of verse 8. Usually the more difficult and shorter reading is preferred when trying to date a manuscript. But other authorities include this shorter ending and then continue with verses 9 through 20. These verses say, "Now after Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, while they were mourning and weeping. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After this, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country." This must have been on the road to Emmaus. "And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Later, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were sitting at the table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and stubbornness, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. By using my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover.' So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and proclaimed the good news everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that accompanied it." These last 12 verses appear to be a later scribal addition. They use words Mark never used in the rest of his writings. But it's better than being left hanging with the frightened women hoarding the greatest news in the history of humankind. We really can't blame the women too much for their fear and reticence. You'll remember that in those days, women weren't allowed to testify in legal hearings. A woman's testimony was deemed unreliable. The women at the tomb may have come back to the city and shouted the news, "He is risen! He is risen indeed!" only to be dismissed. "Yeah, right, you're a woman, a hysterical woman, what do you know?" The women had no confidence in themselves. They couldn't believe if they spoke their truth clearly and convincingly, if they spoke firmly about what they had seen and heard, they couldn't believe people would believe them. It just didn't happen. No one listened to women. Twice in the additional verses, it says they, the disciples, would not believe it. Another version of the resurrection story says that the disciples thought the women were telling idle tales, making stuff up, kidding around. Jesus himself had to finally make an appearance and set the record straight. I suspect we got these other endings because the ancient writers just couldn't let the story end there, with the women running away and saying nothing. If the story ended there, where would we be? Sad, miserable, unsaved, hopeless, not here together today, celebrating and rejoicing. But the ancient editors couldn't let us wallow in our confusion and grief without letting us know, no, that's not how the story ends. There's much more to it. If the story ended there with the women holding on to their great news, we wouldn't be standing here today at all, celebrating the great truth of the resurrection. But the story does not end on a note of fright and insecurity. It doesn't end on a note of doubt and disbelief. It ends with a burst of hope and joy. The Apostle Paul admonished us, as we heard before, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. If Christ did not rise, if the story ended there with Mark 16:8, where would that leave us? What are we doing here in this sacred place on this most marvelous day if the story ended there? What are we doing going to church at any time, anywhere for that matter? If there was no resurrection, there's no reason for us to be here. If there was no resurrection, what, a couple of weeks ago, as we celebrated the life of Martha Poss, we would have just collapsed in a big old heap of tears and fears. If there was no resurrection, the fire this week in our village would have been just a tragic, destructive event, and we wouldn't have anything to look forward to. We wouldn't have the strength or the tenacity to say something good can come out of this. We can come together and rebuild with one another and support one another. Rui Doso's story will not end here. Rui Doso will resurrect. We don't know why Mark's gospel ended as it did. Was part of it lost? Was Mark afraid to write something so radical and earth-shattering? Afraid of the clapback, afraid of people telling him he was crazy or stupid, that he decided to just stop right there? It seems John, Matthew, and Luke couldn't bear to let the story end as Mark did. They had to add to it. Wonderful details. Some of them don't agree with each other, but that's understandable. Each gospel writer was focusing on a different audience who needed to hear different things. So they added their own personal touches that make the story complete. How there was an earthquake and an angel or two. How the burial clothes were empty and neatly folded. How the distraught, weeping Mary practically ran right into Jesus in the cemetery garden and didn't recognize him until he said her name. The fourth gospel, John's gospel, was taken as the standard, and all the other gospels were, to a certain extent, altered in their sections to bring them into line with John's account. When we put the four gospel stories together, or at least examine them carefully and individually, an amazing story unfolds. This is the story upon which our lives as believers are built. One of the songs we'll sing puts it well. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. No, we can't explain how it happened. No, we weren't there to see the stone roll away or see the angel for ourselves. No, we don't know why Peter went into the tomb, looked around, and ran back home. It's a miracle. It's God's power at work in our world. It's God's promises given and kept. The women were afraid to tell their story because they were afraid no one would believe them, and they were right. But they knew what they knew. They had seen the angel and heard his command to go and tell. Women, go preach the good news. We root for them to get over their fright and steel themselves to continually insist, no, it's true. No, it's not a story we've made up. We certainly saw the angel, and we will see Jesus himself if we go to Galilee. Guys, put aside your doubts and your prejudices about the impact and importance of women. Listen to us and believe. If the story ended there, the world would not have changed for those women and for all our sisters who followed them. If the story ended there, women would remain forever silent, unheeded, unheard with Christ's resurrection. With Christ's resurrection, new life and new possibilities were born. The old ways were shut up in the tomb, the old dictates and dictums, the old beliefs of people's proper places sealed away forever. Now women could bear witness and be heard and believed. Everything changed on that first Easter morning. Aren't we glad it did? There are a number of works of literature and art and music that were never finished, usually because the writer or the painter or musician died while working on the piece. Charles Dickens's Mystery of Edwin Drood, for instance, it ended with Dickens only finished 6 of the 12 proposed installments in the serial, so now we don't know who killed Edwin Drood, a mystery indeed. There's F. Scott Fitzgerald's The Last Tycoon, Leonardo da Vinci's Adoration of the Magi and his painting of The Last Supper. There's Schubert's unfinished symphony number 8 in B minor and Mozart's Requiem. There are unfinished buildings too, such as the Sagrada Familia Cathedral in Barcelona, Spain, which has been under construction since 1882. Its projected finish date is 2026. So many things have been left undone, but not for us. We have the whole story now. It did not end where Mark ended it. In fact, it goes on and on down through the ages. Mark starts his gospel with the words, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ." For him, there is no end to it. It's still going on. And the most exciting thing is we are now part of that story. The story doesn't end with the resurrection. It starts with it. So let us keep the story going, adding our own plot twists to it, our own stories of how we came to know Jesus Christ and how he became our Lord and Savior and how we now follow him and continue to do the work he began. We don't have to make up an ending. We are living it. We are Jesus' own works of art, and he is the author and finisher of our faith. We're not left hanging. We're not incomplete. We will be perfected on the day of Jesus' return for sure. Our story is just getting started. As we watch and wait for Jesus' return, let us rejoice in the knowledge that God's plan for us has been set in motion and God has invited us through Jesus to be a part of it. Jesus' death didn't end the story. He may have cried out on the cross, "It is finished," but now he cries out through eternity, "This is a never-ending story. Come be part of it." Yes, the good news never ends. May our stories go on and on and on forever and ever. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Let us pray. Dear God, on this most glorious day, we celebrate the fulfillment of your promise to send us a Savior whose love and compassion would flow down through the ages to us who believe in and follow him. Thank you that our story doesn't end. Thank you that it's really just beginning. Send us forth in Easter hope and joy, not only today, but always. Amen.